The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We're back because it is hour two at 10:02. Wake up with Randy Corporan, your pumped up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism. So good to have you here. And man, I'll tell you what, Mean Gene Bennett behind the glass is at his fighting weight. We've like, hey man, can you grab that? Boom, it is there and ready for me to go. And this guy just never stops. And I always forget at the end of the show to say thank you. So that's why when it pops to mind, I throw it out there. Really do appreciate the great work behind the glass. 303-696-1971. We're going to get right back to the phones in just a second. Before we go to our next guest, Douglas County Commissioner Laura Thomas, I just want you to remember to hear what Bob Dole himself, in a letter that he wrote, had to say about election integrity. This is his daughter yesterday.
I also confess that I'm a bit curious to learn if I am correct in thinking that heaven will look a lot like Kansas. And to see, like others who have gone before me, if I will still be able to vote in Chicago.
Man had a tremendous sense of humor. What a legacy after 98 years. And Kansas, man, both of my parents from Kansas, spent a lot of time there, especially the last couple years of my dad's life. And yeah, I think heaven could look like a great vast swath of Kansas, without a doubt. Anyway, let's get on with the show. And really looking forward to our next guest, Laura Thomas. Man, I've just known her forever. She was, two decades, I think, on the state patrol. She was a coroner in, I think, Douglas County. Douglas County Commissioner for two terms, perhaps a new job in her future, which we'll talk about in just a minute. But I've got some questions about Douglas County before we jump in. Laura, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Randy, thank you so much for letting me be on the radio this morning with you.
Better believe it. So much interesting activity going on in Douglas County. I was filling in for Stephen Tubbs last week, and this whole thing blew up about the Wildlife Experience Building in Parker that, as I recall, the Douglas County commissioners looked at and decided to pass on, and then the Douglas County School Board, under old leadership, sort of bound Douglas County to a contract with a pooper get off the pot date coming up, and the newly elected board, I think, went forward on that purchase. What do you know about that purchase? What are your thoughts?
Well, I know that one of my fellow commissioners, Abe Layden, really wanted to buy the Wildlife Experience with the $68 million in the American Rescue Plan Act that we're going to be getting. And I just don't see any reason why county government needs to have a brick-and-mortar building like that. It is built as a museum. We had staff go through that building, and it has $2 to $3 million worth of structural damage that needs to be fixed before the building can even be occupied. I remember when the Jeffco commissioners built the Taj Mahal building. I like my job as a county commissioner. I'm not going to do anything to betray the trust of the voters by doing anything like getting that building.
Yeah, I was sort of disappointed, I think, in the student or the school board folks in jumping into that decision. But I did learn after the fact that they had had some interactions with the public, that they had really looked into it, and that they found some merit for educational purposes in buying that building. So I don't know enough about it. It just seemed like it happened awful quickly to me. But you're not here to talk about that. Douglas County, as commissioner, you guys have made some tremendous decisions, including opting out of the Tri-County healthcare system when they tried to mandate certain things that just simply did not fit the people in Douglas County. Talk about that for just a minute.
So in July of 2020, after the Tri-County Board of Health voted to mask up Douglas County against the recommendations of Dr. Douglas, I made the motion that Douglas County leave Tri-County Health, Both Commissioners Partridge and Layden joined me on that vote. So in July of 2020, Douglas County decided we were going to leave Tri-County Health. You know, Douglas County is the second healthiest county in the entire country. We are the fifth wealthiest county, and we have the lowest level of poverty in any county in the entire country. So our public health needs are much different than those of Arapahoe and Adams County. And that's why it just makes good governance sense that Douglas County build a public health department that reflects the specific needs of our residents.
And how sad for the surrounding counties. I know multiple people who, you know, I went in to get a haircut. I use Floyd's periodically, and they said, oh, sorry, we got to put you in a mask. And I said, nope, sorry, I'll just drive 5 minutes to Douglas County. It's just such a burden on businesses and of course, on our liberties. It seems like we get away from the fundamental principle that, number one, it's sort of a useless utilitarian tool that makes you look good but does damage to children and human interactions and everything else, but makes you feel good about yourself. Wearing a mask has to be forced down our throats to the detriment of students, of families, and especially of businesses in the counties that are stuck under that mandate.
Well, it's not only in those counties. I was at Arapahoe Community College 2 weeks ago in Douglas County at their Douglas County campus. And when I walked in, I was told I had to put on a mask. And I'm like, no, we're in Douglas County. We do not have a mask mandate here. May I speak with the person in charge of this building? And I spoke with that person, and they said, well, we need to talk to the vice president. The vice president told me that there was a state order about masks, and there is no state order.
No.
We are still going back and forth with Arapahoe Community College in Douglas County. They are still insisting that people wear masks unless they have a letter from their doctor saying they have a disability, flies in the face of the public health order in Douglas County.
Phenomenal. Well, you know, you've certainly stood up in the right places at the right times, and your law enforcement history is over 20 years, as I recall, is apparently leading you back to that realm. And so tell folks what you're doing and why.
I declared yesterday that I am running for Douglas County Sheriff. I have watched this race unfold, and let me just say that I am effective as a county commissioner, and this is all about good governance. And I just, as I've watched this race, I'm called to run for county sheriff because this county needs a qualified sheriff who has a legacy of leadership. I can point to my reputation and my record of turning around underperforming and poor performing organizations. When I was the coroner, I took over that office. We reduced the budget by one third. We increased the efficiency, even though the caseload was going up 45%. And I took out the corruption. The guy I ran against that was endorsed by this regime of sheriff's people that are in place now is now a convicted felon because he was stealing guns from the office. I figured that out, went to the district attorney. He's now being convicted. I rooted out the corruption because we have got to have good governance.
And you have a great deal of law enforcement experience that you're bringing to bear, obviously. Tell folks a little bit about your law enforcement history.
Thank you. I was with the Colorado State Patrol for 26 years. I started as a dispatcher because when I first applied for the state patrol, they didn't hire women to be state troopers. After they started taking women officers, I eventually became a state trooper. I was the ninth woman in the state patrol on the street when I got into the Castle Rock is where I was first assigned. I went through the ranks. I was the first woman captain, the first woman major. After 9/11, Governor Owens assigned me to Homeland Security for the 10 metro counties. Can you imagine Denver and the rest of the counties? I was the chair of those counties trying to figure out how to keep our residents safe.
I'll tell you, it's going to be a heated race in Douglas County. There's a number of candidates, I think, who've thrown their hats into the ring, people who've been in the office, people who want the office. Is this a nonpartisan race, or will there be Republican and Democrat candidates?
So there will be a Republican primary on June 28th, and then there will be a general election in November.
Very good. All right. Well, there's so many issues to talk about. I know something that's near and dear to your heart is the right of individual citizens, their God-given, constitutionally protected right to defend themselves. In Colorado, that's been unfortunately codified and restricted by our legislature in many, many ways. But talk to me a little bit about some of your concerns on restrictions to concealed carry.
So as a county commissioner, I go over to the Justice Center, and I realize that when I go over there, they do not have a place for me to put my firearm. And so we addressed that with the sheriff's office, and I was originally told I had to just go back to my car and leave my firearm in my car, that they did not have a secure place. And the law 1812.214.4C is very clear that if they are going to take a firearm away from someone who has a legal concealed carry permit in the building, they have to have a manned place where that weapon can be kept. They weren't doing that. In fact, I was told, well, go put your gun in the car. And I said, how safe is that? We have a jail here. People are being released from the jail. And they said, well, put it in a lockbox. And I said, so they pick up the lockbox and leave with it? So finally, they gave me a letter that I could use to put my firearm there. I shared that letter with some attorneys who I knew carry, and then some things developed. It was a huge brouhaha with the undersheriff, Holly Kluth. And so now there is no place at the Douglas County Sheriff's, at the Justice Center, where you can put a firearm. So know that when I become the sheriff, we will follow the law. There will be locked boxes where people can store their concealed carry weapons when they are in the courthouse.
Well, and, you know, the provision of that particular law says that that you can't take your gun in there into a building where security personnel require each person who is carrying a weapon of any kind to leave the weapon in possession of security personnel while the person is in the building. I was in Arapahoe County yesterday, and no disrespect intended, but those security guards, you know, who are letting people in and out, those aren't trained law enforcement officials. Those aren't people that I'd want standing next to me or have my back in the midst of a fight. So they're also just stripping you of your ability to protect yourself inside that environment. And, you know, they just chip away at the rights of law-abiding gun owners who want nothing more than the ability to protect themselves and others in the event of a tragic and unexpected emergency, and it makes you sick to your stomach.
It does. So this is just an example, just like Arapahoe County Community College in Douglas County making people wear a mask. I will always will stand up for the people to be able to protect their rights and do what is necessary and what is required by the law.
So when is the Republican primary again? And then we all know when the general election is.
The primary is June 28th, and I certainly would appreciate people going to their caucuses on March 1st so that they can go in Douglas County to the assembly on March 26th and vote for Laura Thomas for Douglas County Sheriff.
What's your website?
LauraThomas.org, and it's LoraThomas.org.
Laura, good luck. I know we'll be talking again, and appreciate your time this morning on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Randy. God bless you and your listeners.
Thank you so much. All right. I promise we get right back to the phones, and we will. We'll start with Jay in Douglas County. J-Dog, good morning.
What a great show. Wow, that woman sounds incredible. I've never met her, but that's amazing.
Well, she's a tough lady. We've crossed in the past, but, you know, unlike some people who you sometimes get into disagreements with and they turn their back on you and their claims of friendship are made loudly and vociferously until that friendship is tested, you know, she just seems rock solid to me. And I'm Republican National Committee man, so I will not be taking any sides in any Republican primaries, and other Republican sheriff's candidates are welcome on this show anytime. But, yeah, she's a good lady. I can say that for sure.
Well, one thing that was said while I was on hold is I think I heard her say they were going to spend $100-some million on a building down there.
Yeah, they wanted to spend $64 million on a building of money they got from CCP virus relief on the Wildlife Experience building. And the commissioner voted that down, but the school board picked it up, and looks like they'll be buying it instead.
Okay, so this goes to misuse of public funds. So I'll give you an example. In 264 acres we built at Quebec and C-470. It's called Palomino Park. 264 acres, 1,850 units. If you do the numbers, it's actually $69,000 per apartment or townhome. These are nice places, two-car garage, basements, and so on. My clubhouse is 11 acres, and they're going to build one building for almost that. That's unbelievable. That is going to be a parallel for the place over at Jeffco that they built. It was so expensive, as I recall. Most of the people that were involved lost their jobs because they spent so much money on that club, that courthouse in Jefferson County.
The Taj Mahal, baby.
Yeah.
And I recall, many of the offices and floors are still unfilled in Jefferson County. Yeah. But let me just say something. I know you'd, based on the call screen, you'd called in to talk about Mitch McConnell. I know that it's a misuse of funds for the school board to do what they did. The conservatives who just recently got elected, from my understanding, did a deep dive into what was going on and the way they could use this building for students and the restrictions they put on, how it could not be used to, you know, prop up and grow the administrative side of the school system and all of that. So I want to be careful in not throwing that out necessarily. Yeah. It could be turn out to be a good investment.
Yeah, for cost building, my feeling is all government buildings should be built at cost plus 25%, because we just get such a horrible contract base. But I was going to ask you about Mitch McConnell, because I heard that on the show. On the show, you said, I mentioned Mitch McConnell. Well, I know that his wife is actually the daughter of the company that is Costco, COSCO, the shipping company. There are photographs of he and his wife and his father-in-law, who owns the shipping company that builds all those ships that come over and are sitting outside Long Beach and Houston and so forth. And talk about a conflict of interest. It's unbelievable. He's the head. And I'm a card-carrying GOP from 18. I voted for Ronald Reagan. I've been Republican 500 since I was 18 years old. And when I see that, it just makes me sick.
Well, and there's so much to question with Mitch McConnell, the ties to China and the connections that his wife has there. And you know, how do these people come to Congress? A good-paying job, $186,000 up to a couple $100,000 a year. Not chump change, but they become multi-millionaires. How does that work exactly? I'm not sure the math quite equates for so many of these so-called public servants. It seems like it's self-enrichment servants.
Yeah, so. I think you're right. I would love to be someday on the back visit the president's balcony and listening to Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill talk in those days, because those guys had a real partnership between two God-fearing, loving American individuals, as I know them. I don't know them. I wish I would have had a chance to meet Ronald Reagan, but I did not.
Well, Jay, you're going to want to hold, because when we come back on the other side, we'll get back to the phones as well. But I've got some choice clips from Ronald Reagan's Time for Choosing speech in 1964, just coincidentally, since you mentioned the Gipper. We'll hear from him when we come back. Thanks for the call. Thanks for waiting, especially. Jay's line is open, 303-696-1971. 696-1971, 1021, Randy Corcoran, 710, KNUS. Tribute to the passing of Michael Nesmith, one of the Monkees, at 78 years old. Way, way, way too young. And so we haven't done a lot of phone calls. Let's get to the phones. We'll save some Reagan for a little bit later. Ferris in Cherry Creek is waiting. Ferris, good morning.
Good day, Randy. You know, 78 is not much anymore. You know, it's kind of like the new 61.
Right? Agreed. It's just shocking to me. I'm 62 now, so 78's not so far off in the future.
You know, we agree on just about everything, but for some reason, my delivery causes angst among the talk show hosts in Denver and KNUS, especially Peter Boyles, who I came on with the other day.
And he let's not do Peter. Let's not do Peter, man.
No. Let me warn you. Okay, so do you want to warn me about my call, or can you accept my call?
Well, I don't know. Let's get to your call, and we shall see.
Okay. Try not to talk over the callers, because I have to get something off my chest, and I don't want to be warned. I don't want the listeners warned about me, because I'm a military intelligence officer, highly educated, highly informed, modicum of wisdom, member of Mensa who can say that, right? I called about the woman, Lori, who's on your show. Oh, well, Lori's great. See, woman called up the talk show the other day and said, where are the men? Where are the men, she said. Where are all these women expect to save us? We got too many women. The Nevada legislature is majority female. Can we debate the lunacy of this?
So you oppose women leadership?
Well, of course.
Did you
women?
Did you hate Margaret Thatcher?
But that's England. Let's talk about us. Let's talk about you. About us.
How about Kristi Noem? What do you think about Kristi Noem?
I think I would like to.
All right. Thank you, Ferris. Really do. Well, maybe I don't. Appreciate the call. It's 1029-303-696-1971. Ferris's line is open. Speaking of powerful women, which I actually enjoy. Great one coming in studio at the top of the hour. My dear friend, Dr. Julie McCallan from Cenogenics, coming in studio to talk about the things that matter to you in addition to the wonderful things that they can do for you. And she's coming in especially to introduce us to her new partner, neurosurgeon, Dr. Tim Watts. And you heard some clips from Tim Watts last week. It was fascinating. I just love medical professionals who aren't afraid to speak out on what they know about alternatives to the vax and then the double vax and then the four boosters on top of the double vax. And we'll talk about the efficacy or lack thereof of masking and all of the crazy things that we've done to prolong the damage from this pandemic. That'll be part of it. But for me, it's just been incredible being involved with Cenogenics because, almost 16 pounds, I think, from my highest weight to my lowest just in the year that I've been doing Cenogenics, and a shifting away from fat, which weighs less than muscle. So you can't really gauge your success by just the weight loss. And I just think about how much more I could do if I was just more disciplined. You know, you get people having surgeries and you're stuck in the hospital and you eat hospital food and you get off your sleep patterns or your exercise patterns. And then it's hard to get started. And then you're tired at night and an Oreo cookie and some milk sounds awfully good. And if I was more disciplined, man, I would be on fire. And it's all with the help of my friends at Cenogenics. Dr. Julie McCallan and the team offer a different approach to healthcare, disease prevention, and aging. Because you cannot control how old you are, but you can control how you age. And the experience is great. You know, it starts with a free 20-minute consultation with Dr. Julie, 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681. I think that'll be including now the opportunity to have consultations with Dr. Tim, but we'll find that out at the top of the hour. Really, don't suffer with low energy, lack of focus, unintentional weight gain, poor sleep, or low libido for one more day. Call Cenogenics to learn more. Go to their website, denver.cenogenics.com, denver.cenogenics.com, and definitely be here at 11 o'clock when we will talk some turkey with Dr. Julie and her new partner, neurosurgeon Dr. Watts. Really going to be a lot of fun at the top of the hour. I promised some Reagan, and, you know, Reagan is talking in the Cold War context against communist Russia. But listen to what he's saying in the context of the infiltration of communist ideology into the United States of America and how docile and subtly people are acquiescing to these incredibly dangerous ideologies, starting with our kids now in kindergarten and elementary school and certainly inundated in so many of the colleges out there. Listen to the Gipper from 1964.
Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between a left or right. Well, I'd like to suggest there is no such thing as a left or right. There's only an up or down. Man's old age dream, the ultimate in individual freedom consistent with law and order, or down to the ant heap of totalitarianism. And regardless of their sincerity, their humanitarian motives, those who would trade our freedom for security have embarked on this downward course. In this vote harvesting time, they use terms like the Great Society. Or, as we were told a few days ago by the president, we must accept a greater government activity in the affairs of the people. But they've been a little more explicit in the past. And among themselves, and all of the things I now will quote have appeared in print. These are not Republican accusations. For example, they have voices that say the Cold War will end through our acceptance of a not undemocratic socialism. Another voice says the profit motive has become outmoded. It must be replaced by the incentives of the welfare state. Or our traditional system of individual freedom is incapable of solving the complex problems of the 20th century.
We have a few more of those. We may play one before the next break, but just think of that in the context of where we are now. 1964, that's what, 36, 50, 57 years ago. And the same things were going on. The difference is that Democrats of the day, many of them were actually believers in America First. And so they had different looks and feels about social policies and the role of government. And look, we can create all of this money and help, you know, take care of more people. And aren't we great? And isn't that wonderful? But during that period, the zealots, the ideologues, the Marxists and the communists were working their way not only into the arms and the levers and the power of government, but into our Hollywood and education systems and everywhere else. And they were doing it quietly. They were slowly starting to change the minds of our kids while we weren't looking and while we weren't listening. And now they're not even quiet about it. Now it is 100% out there for everybody to see. And they know that during the so-called first term, or so far, I should have said, so far, first term of Donald J. Trump. We'll see if he runs again. But during the first term, they knew that it was all about to be wiped away. In just 4 years, look at the changes in America, the positive changes. And I dare anybody to call in 303-696-1971 and tell me how horrible things were during those 4 years. Record low prices, record energy independence, real wages for working men and women going up even under inflationary, low inflation, but inflationary pressures going up for the very first time in years and years and years. Things were better. $1.25, $1.85, under $2 a gallon gasoline. And they knew that it could end. It could end with a second term for decades. And so they had to do something to stop it. But the point I'm making about Ronald Reagan is they were more circumspect in how they presented their communist or socialist ideals back then. Now they're right in your face. Bernie Sanders was a presidential candidate. We have self-announced, self-avowed communists on the Denver school board. We had them on the Aurora school board till y'all went out and did your jobs and changed the makeup of that board for the better. It's all in your face now. And part of that is more courage, more people who've been brainwashed and indoctrinated, more people who've been allowed into this country illegally. Now New York wants to make it legal for them to vote, on and on and on. But the truth of the matter is, it's social media, it's the internet, it's talk radio, it's the awareness that's available to each and every one of us now to see what's going on. And factored in and among the absolutely fearless, small but fearless, outspoken, supported by the mainstream media, actual communists who are trying to foist their ideology on our kids and into our workplace and into our energy use and production and purchases, everywhere you turn around. So what Reagan was talking about 57 years ago was already underway. And now it's in your face. And that's why everybody is as agitated as they are, because the left knows that they're this close to pushing America over that edge, off of that cliff. And when America goes down, that's it for the rest of the world. Freedom around the rest of the world will no longer be protected. We will no longer be a constitutional republic, one nation under God. with the premise that individual liberty and individual rights come from God, and it's the job of the government to protect those individual rights, not to dictate to you, not to tell you what to do. We're right at that precipice, and that's part of why everything is so amped up. And I mentioned the hit piece by Ari Armstrong, where I was named but never contacted. A guy I've interacted with many times, debated on the Devil's Advocate show, John Caldera's show years ago, never reached out at all. And they're pounding us down because they don't realize we're at that tipping point. They don't realize that the reason the right is finally rising up is because the left has been covertly and quietly and incrementally taking over for decade after decade after decade. And they're so empowered right now, so emboldened, and so well-funded by the George Soros types and the district attorneys that have been put into office with the use of his money that protect these criminals and release them, drop charges, don't put in low bonds, all of those things that you hear about more and more every single day. They're emboldened, willing to burn cities and kill people and the whole nine yards. And the media ignores those behaviors and instead points their finger at things that Republicans, not things that Republicans do, things that Republicans say. Oh, my goodness. Let's hear just a little bit more of the Gipper, and then we'll get to our next break.
Those who would trade our freedom for the soup kitchen of the welfare state have told us they have a utopian solution of peace without victory. They call their policy accommodation. And they say if we'll only avoid any direct confrontation with the enemy, he'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us. All who oppose them are indicted as warmongers. They say we offer simple answers to complex problems. Well, perhaps there is a simple answer. Not an easy answer, but simple. If you and I have the courage to tell our elected officials that we want our national policy based on what we know in our hearts is morally right, we cannot buy our security, our freedom from the threat of the bomb, by committing an immorality so great as saying to a billion human beings now enslaved behind the Iron Curtain, give up your dreams of freedom, because to save our own skins, we're willing to make a deal with your slave masters. Alexander Hamilton said, a nation which can prefer disgrace to danger is prepared for a master and deserves one.
Ronald Reagan was called a warmonger. Anybody who's sounding the alarm on China or on Iran right now, a warmonger. Stay home. Don't get involved. Don't go around the world. Just wrap in your shores, wrap your arms around the shores, and just stand here and wait to see what happens next. And there's such a distinction between sending our soldiers into every squabble or battle or ideological war or terrorism internal strife that's going on in different countries, different places, than being involved as the world's leader, as the last remaining hope on earth for freedom, the United States of America, policies, the tools that we have to put economic pressure on Russia. We give them a pipeline. We close down our own. Is that America first? Is that putting the interests of our country first? That is the putative President Joe Biden administration policy. Open up the borders, let in the CCP virus, flood as many people as you can for as long as we can get away with it. Then we'll try and get more of those people to vote legally or otherwise to help reelect Democrats. And now that, you know, we're going to be at the end of the holidays and next year people start focusing on those ever critical midterm elections where Democrats are simply failing in every poll that you see. More and more Democrats leaving the party and flipping to Republican. I think that just happened in New Mexico last week. You'll see that happening. You'll see that coming. You'll feel it. And the media will tell you that everything that you're doing, everything that you're thinking is wrong. It's not. Stay strong. Keep your head down. Do not back up. Do not be silent, period. The warmongering cries of people who simply think that we should use our influence and sometimes our military presence, not to go into wars, but to have a presence. You know, we gave up an air base in Afghanistan that was right there between China and Iran, a very strategic location. in a country where Americans had not been dying. I think a couple the last year that we were in there, which is obviously each one is a tragedy. But man, oh man, when you hear these gross generalizations and the idea that we need to just simply put our heads in the sand and ignore what's happening with an Iran about to get nuclear viability, nuclear warhead viability, and a China that is building up their military as fast as they can and using slave labor to do it, and we should just stay quiet. It's outrageous. Remember Ronald Reagan, when the United States of America stood for freedom and we were willing to prove it around the world. We've got a couple more good clips from him, and I know we're late on the break. 303-696-1971 when we come back on 710 KNUS. Admit it, though. When you hear Last Train to Clarksville, when you hear I'm a Believer or Daydream Believer, any of those songs, you're singing them. You know every lyric if you're my generation. Now, Mean Gene probably doesn't apply to you. I don't imagine you're very familiar with the Monkees. What do you think about? Did you enjoy the music, or is it too goofy for you? Okay, good. That's good to hear. All right. Very interesting. Dr. Ben Carson has come out and really gone full force ahead on how wrong it is to be suppressing existing therapies for the CCP virus, ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. And we'll get into a little bit of this piece before we bring in Dr. Julie McCallum, Dr. Tim Watt, her new partner over there at Cenogenics. They'll be joining us in studio at the top of the hour. But Dr. Ben Carlson is unafraid, and that's what each and every one of us needs to be. Studies and doctors, and there's so many now that I've talked to going way back to the beginning of last year, doctors who were treating nursing home patients with hydroxychloroquine and not losing them, you know, losing a couple of nursing home patients who had other problems, other mortalities, not necessarily dying of COVID, in nursing homes, being treated that way. And now that there's been some time and some opportunity, good doctors, doctors who are willing to try it, understand that hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, especially if you use it with azithromycin, which is an antibiotic, zinc, vitamin D, all those things that help your body combat the spike protein and how all that works on CCP virus, have been useful for so many. And I heard the disclaimer at the top of the hour, I'm not a doctor, consult your own physicians. But here's the problem. Part of my heartbreak this week has been trying to help patients get alternative treatments in the hospital, and we lost one because we couldn't get action fast enough. We got court action, and then there was finally a doctor who was willing to take over the care, and it just happened too slowly. And that person died, never even got a chance to try. And it's sickening. It's heartbreaking. It's heart-wrenching to be involved in one of those family situations and see how adamant these doctors are to stop you from trying something different. And I'll tell you why. I've had now, 14, 15 cases where the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies or Authority or whatever DORA stands for have gone ahead and issued complaints, many of them based on anonymous complainants against doctors who dare to talk publicly on their own time about alternative therapies to the CCP virus, who dare to perhaps give people access to some of those alternative treatments. Their medical licenses are at risk. There are pharmacies in Colorado, you cannot fill a prescription for hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. Drugs that have been available and have been used off-label, which means not necessarily, you know, hydroxychloroquine treats malaria. It's carried around in the pockets of people in Africa, eaten like, popped like candy, daily vitamins, not even a prescription required, just buy it off the shelf. 60 years, proven, safe track record. Can't use it for COVID. It's too dangerous. It's outrageous. It is so politicized that they're using the licensing authorities to threaten doctors. By the way, I haven't lost a single one of those challenges. We haven't lost a single one of those complaints yet. Not a single doctor has been found to violate their obligations, their code, their ethics, their medical standards by either talking about or even helping people get some of these alternative treatments for the CCP virus. But the pressure keeps coming. You have to pay tons of money to get the stuff sent in from out of state, things that used to be available just on a doctor's prescription, simple as can be, common, everyday medicines used for other things for decades. We heard at the start of the show that introduction to the history of ivermectin. There's a 20-plus minute documentary now available, and you can find out more about it at the FLCCC.net website. It's on YouTube. And the other story is finally coming out. And Dr. Ben Carson, I just admire his courage. He's always willing to speak truth to power. I've learned a lot about him at a dinner that we were at and conversation that we got to have. And just what a smart and kind and intensely patriotic, courageous and principled man he is. And he was on Maria Bartiromo's Fox News show Sunday morning just last week, I think. I have to check the date. I didn't see the show. And he spoke wisely about the COVID pandemic and panic, and especially made the points, like, why don't we research why the tropical countries in Africa where hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin are widely used have such minor death tolls from the CCP virus? The graphs are out there. And for political reasons, because Donald Trump mentioned it, because they want you to take the jab and then the second jab and now up to four boosters. The new vernacular. You go from vax to fully vaxxed to now fully boosted. That's what it's going to take to be protected. Billions and billions of dollars being made. Billions of dollars being made. And you can't talk about these relatively cheap, proven, effective alternatives that'll keep people out of hospitals and keep people off of ventilators. I promised a little more Reagan. Let's do just one more clip. I know we got calls. I'm sorry, Carol. You know what? Sit tight. Maybe you'll want to talk to Dr. Julie. We'll get Carol and whoever. I don't know the name there. But let me just play one more important clip from Ronald Reagan.
Now, let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war. But there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this. But every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? Well, Nikita Khrushchev has told his people he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically.
My, my, my. God bless the Gipper. All right. I hope you're as excited as I am. I know we got callers standing by. We'll see what we can do about that. But Dr. Julie McCallum, Dr. Tim Watt from Cenogenics, the new team from denver.cenogenics.com will be in studio when we come back. But let's head to break, top of the hour break, as we continue our tribute to the monkeys with Pleasant Valley.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.